Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The College Scam by Charlie Kirk is a conservative political critique of American higher education, written for students, parents, and citizens who are doubtful about the cost and cultural direction of modern universities. The book presents college not merely as an expensive life choice, but as an institution that Kirk argues has become financially exploitative and ideologically hostile to traditional American values. Its genre is best understood as polemical nonfiction. It combines political commentary, cultural criticism, and a warning against treating a four-year degree as the default path to adulthood. Kirk, known for his work with Turning Point USA and conservative campus activism, frames universities as institutions that burden young people with debt while exposing them to progressive ideology, restricted speech, and weak practical returns. The purpose is not to provide a neutral policy study, but to challenge the cultural assumption that college is automatically beneficial and to encourage readers to reconsider educational, financial, and civic priorities. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, higher education is framed as an overpriced and risky financial bargain. A central theme of the college scam is the argument that the modern university sells a product whose cost has outpaced its practical value for many students. Kirk challenges the inherited assumption that a degree is always a sound investment, especially when families accept large tuition bills, loans, fees, and years of delayed earnings without carefully measuring the likely return. His critique rests on a basic economic claim: when a credential is treated as socially mandatory, universities gain pricing power while students carry the risk. The book positions student debt as more than a personal finance problem. It becomes evidence of a system that benefits administrators, lenders, and politically protected institutions while leaving young adults with limited leverage. Kirk also emphasizes that college often imposes opportunity costs, since 4 years on campus may delay work experience, entrepreneurship, vocational training, or other routes to independence. The reasoning is deliberately confrontational, but its practical implication is clear: families should treat college as a major purchase, not as a rite of passage immune from cost-benefit scrutiny. Secondly, campus ideology is presented as a form of political and cultural formation. The book is especially known for its claim that universities do not simply educate students in academic subjects, but shape their political and moral assumptions. Kirk argues that many campuses are dominated by progressive faculty, activist administrative cultures, and social norms that discourage conservative viewpoints. He describes this process as ideological conditioning, with particular attention to what he sees as anti-American themes, hostility toward free markets, and suspicion of traditional social institutions. The argument is not limited to classroom content, and it includes campus speech codes, diversity bureaucracies, student activism, and peer pressure as mechanisms that influence what students feel able to say. From Kirk's perspective, the problem is that universities present themselves as spaces for inquiry while often enforcing a narrow range of acceptable conclusions. A neutral reading should recognize that this is a partisan diagnosis, but it captures why the book resonates with readers who view campus life as politically unbalanced. Its deeper concern is the relationship between education and citizenship, who forms young citizens, and under what assumptions. Thirdly, the credential system is criticized for weakening practical judgment. Beyond cost and ideology, Kirk attacks the cultural status of the college degree itself. The book suggests that credentialism has encouraged employers, families, and students to treat a diploma as proof of competence, even when the degree does not necessarily correspond to useful skills, strong work habits, or economic independence. This critique matters because it shifts the debate from whether college can be valuable to whether it should function as the default screening mechanism for adulthood and employment. Kirk argues that the degree requirement can push students into programs without clear professional purpose while also devaluing trades, military service, entrepreneurship, apprenticeships, and direct workforce experience. The book therefore asks readers to separate education from institutional prestige. A person can be educated without attending an expensive university, and a graduate can hold a credential without being well prepared for life or work. The practical reasoning is that students should begin with a desired outcome, such as a profession, skill, or business path, and then choose the least wasteful route toward it. Fourthly, the book uses a prosecutorial structure rather than a detached academic method. The college scam is organized around an indictment of the college industry, reportedly using a 10-count framework to argue that academia has lost credibility. This structure is important because it reveals the book method. Kirk is not attempting a comprehensive sociological study of higher education, nor does he write as a university reform technocrat. He presents the university system as a defendant and builds a case around financial burden, ideological bias, speech constraints, and institutional self-interest. The strength of this approach is accessibility. readers can quickly understand the charges and connect them to current debates about tuition, campus politics, and degree value. The limitation is that the format favors sharp claims over nuance. Universities vary widely by region, mission, price, discipline, and student outcome, and the prosecutorial style can compress those differences. Still, the framework makes the book distinctive in the conservative education debate because it treats higher education as a unified cultural and political problem rather than a set of isolated administrative failures. Lastly, parents and students are urged to reconsider the default college path. The most practical dimension of the book is its direct appeal to families making education decisions. Kirk writes for readers who are close to the college choice, high school students, parents evaluating tuition, and young adults questioning whether enrollment will serve their goals. His advice is less about improving campus life from within and more about resisting automatic participation in a system he regards as financially and ideologically harmful. The book encourages readers to ask concrete questions before enrolling: what career outcome is expected, how much debt is required, what alternatives exist, and what values will shape the campus environment. It also aligns this personal decision with a broader political preference for free markets and limited government, implying that education should be less dependent on subsidized debt and institutional privilege. Whether readers agree with the full ideological argument or not, the decision framework has practical force. It asks families to replace prestige-based thinking with accountability-based thinking, measuring college by cost, purpose, viewpoint, climate, and actual preparation for adult life. In conclusion, the college scam is most relevant for conservative readers, parents of high school students, young adults unsure about college, and anyone interested in the political debate over higher education. Its practical benefit is that it pushes readers to treat college as a financial and ideological decision rather than an unquestioned milestone. It may help families ask sharper questions about debt, career outcomes, campus culture, and alternatives such as trades, work experience, apprenticeships, entrepreneurship, or less expensive educational routes. Its intellectual benefit lies in showing how one prominent conservative activist interprets universities as cultural institutions, not merely schools. Compared with many books about student debt or college reform, this one stands out because it combines cost criticism with a broader argument about progressive influence, free speech, and American civic identity. It is not a neutral research monograph and should not be read as the final word on every campus or degree program. Its value is strongest as a pointed statement of a particular political critique. Readers who disagree with Kirk may still find it useful for understanding why distrust of universities has become a major theme in conservative politics, while sympathetic readers will likely see it as a concise warning against an expensive educational default. If you would like to support Charlie Kirk, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.